Welcome to Faith Renewed, a ministry of Faith Recovery Fellowship right here in Alaska. We believe that knowing Jesus as Lord is the most important decision anyone can make. And our mission is to share the true gospel with everyone. Join us today as Pastor Scott shares today's sermon, bringing a message of hope, restoration, and new life through Jesus Christ. Our prayer is that you would come to know the Lord Jesus Christ personally and experience the freedom and true salvation that's found in Him. You can learn more about our church ministries by visiting us online at faithrecoveryfellowship.org. God is good. Jesus saves, and lives are changed when we surrender our lives to Him. Amen.
Last week, we focused primarily on the fact of the resurrection. And I think that it's imperative that we understand the reason why Jesus allowed Lazarus to die rather than healing him even from a distance, or he could have come earlier, he could have come on time, he could have come for any reason or in any way that he chose to come, but he wanted to demonstrate through Lazarus, through his death and resurrection, the reality of the resurrection and afterlife. And what we don't oftentimes understand is the fact that God is at work to bring about change. And the disciples were believers in the sense that they understood Jesus was and is the Messiah, but they did not understand the whole truth of what Christ had to teach. And what I want to look at this morning is not just the overall picture, but the fact that there were individual people involved in this story. There was Lazarus himself, who had passed away. There was Mary. There was Martha. There were the disciples themselves. There was Jesus himself. There was the crowd of Jews who were there to comfort Mary and Martha at the loss of their brother. And understanding that reality is so important for us, because when we read the story, the chapter is long, and we read the names, Mary, Martha, Lazarus, but we don't know the backstory. We don't know who Mary is. We don't understand who Martha is. We don't understand why it's important to this story to understand who they are. Because Jesus works in hearts and lives to bring about real change. And his purpose has always been to seek and to save those who are lost. So when we look at the story of Mary, for instance, Luke chapter 7, verse 37 says, there was a woman in town who was a sinner, found out that Jesus was reclining at the table in the Pharisee's house, and she brought an alabaster jar of fragrant oil. She stood behind him at his feet, weeping, and began to wash his feet with her tears, and wipe his feet with her hair, the hair of her head, and kissed them, and anointed them with fragrant oil. Now, we don't know who that woman was from the Gospel of Luke, but we do know from John chapter 12, verse 3, Mary took a pound of fragrant oil, pure and expensive nard, anointed Jesus' feet, and wiped his feet with her hair, so the house was filled with the fragrance of the oil. So we find that Mary, who is the sister of Lazarus, shows up in the scripture in other places as a lady who was a sinner, and Jesus redeemed her in her brokenness. And in that story, we begin to see the backstory, because Jesus was involved in a lot of people's lives, and the purpose of always being involved in people's lives was to draw them to himself, draw them to him as a redeemer, draw people to himself as the Messiah, and to save their soul. But he didn't leave everybody at that point. he became a friend to Lazarus, their brother, to Mary, to Martha. He spent time in their house. He spent time discipling them. He spent time teaching them. He spent time encouraging them. And it was imperative that they understand not only who he was and is, but the purpose that he had for their lives and their future. If we don't see it in the Word of God, then we can't oftentimes see it in our own lives and how important it is to recognize that Jesus is here to seek and to save those who are lost. We don't know very much about Lazarus. He shows up in this story as being dead. He was a friend to the disciples and he was a friend to Jesus. And scripture says in verse 3 and 5, in 11:3 and 11:5, that Jesus loved Lazarus. So there was a relationship there, a bond there, an important connection there. And Jesus brought Lazarus back for a purpose, to prove that the resurrection was real. This is the last recorded miracle that Jesus performed in the Gospel of John. Not only was he a friend to Jesus and the disciples, but there was a crowd that loved him as well. And the sisters, both the sisters, were impacted seriously by the loss of Lazarus. Martha, another sister, verse 5 tells us, how Jesus loved Martha, her sister, and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was sick, Lazarus was sick, he stayed 2 more days in the place where he was. Then after that, he said to the disciples, let's go to Judea again. Jesus, and we have to understand the dynamics of this, Jesus intentionally stayed away. We saw in other places in Scripture where Jesus could heal at a distance. He could easily heal at a distance. He did that for the official's son. So we have to catch the whole picture of what is being taught to us in John chapter 11. He intentionally stayed away. But Martha went to meet Jesus on the road. When he finally started to come to Bethany, in verse 20, Martha met him on the road, and she was disturbed because he had not come. Many of the Jews had come to Mary and Martha. As soon as Mary heard that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him, but Mary remained seated in the house. So Martha went to meet Jesus. Now, we have to understand the personalities. Mary did not run to Jesus. She was in the house weeping and mourning over her brother's death. But Martha went to see Jesus, and she was the one who was full of energy and willing to constantly be on the move and serving. And we see that in Luke chapter 10. She was serving lunch in their house in Luke chapter 10. And she had a sister named Mary who also sat at the Lord's feet and was listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks, and she came up and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to serve alone? So tell her to give me a hand. And the Lord said to Martha in verse 41, you are worried and upset about too many things. But the one thing that is necessary, Mary has made the right choice. Don't take it away from her. So we see, I think it's interesting because we all have different personalities. We all have different agendas, so to speak. We all have different things that we think are important for us to do. Jesus recognizes that in all of us. He recognizes who we are. And he works within that context to bring about change in us. He's interested in making us understand him for the purpose of seeing us changed on the inside to be the person that he desires for us to be. We know that Scripture tells us that when we see Him, we'll be like Him because we'll see Him as He is. He works within all of us individually to bring about that change. We look at Martha, though. When Martha was talking to Jesus in verse 24, "I know my brother will rise again." And Jesus told her that was what was going to happen. "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me, even if he dies, will live. Everyone who lives and believes in me will never die, ever." And she said, "I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who came into the world." So she recognized him for who he is. Martha was a person that was active and full of energy, and at the same time, she needed to know and understand Christ for who he really is. Same thing is true of all of us. We need to understand Jesus for who he truly is. Martha recognized that as far as who Christ actually is and was at that time. So it's an amazing truth. It's a very real truth. And when we think about this, I know this seems to be a little bit mundane here, but at the same time, it's important for us to understand, because the disciples are another group of people that are in this conversation, in this storyline. And we sometimes think of the disciples as super saints. And after the resurrection, after the anointing of the Holy Spirit in their life, they did transform the world. They did impact the entire world for Jesus Christ at that point. But here in John 11, they were just guys. They were just normal people. And they were following Christ, but that was actually a tradition in Judaism for disciples to attach themselves to a teacher and be trained and taught by him. John the Baptizer, he called Jesus the Messiah, who will take away the sins of the world. And that's what caused the disciples to begin to follow Christ at that point. But they were just regular guys. They often failed the Lord. He was constantly working to increase their faith. He knew that one day he was going to leave them and that they would be responsible to carry on the ministry of Christ in the world. So in this story, in John 11, the disciples were perplexed. They were concerned. They didn't understand exactly what Jesus was doing, because they knew that Jesus had gone across the Jordan River because of the threat of the Pharisees to seize him and kill him. Simple. They knew that they needed to be out of Judea. And they were perplexed because they didn't do anything about Lazarus being sick. He hung out there for 2 more days, and he didn't end up in Bethany until the 4th day. And Lazarus was already in the grave. And he said to the disciples and told them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep." This is verse 11. "And I'm on my way to wake him up." And the disciples said to him, "Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will get well." Jesus, however, was speaking about his death. So then Jesus told them plainly in verse 14, "Lazarus was dead. I'm glad for you that I wasn't there so that you may believe. Let's go to him." This is a transformational story for the disciples' understanding of Christ. We can say that the disciples believed Jesus before this story happened, but in some cases, it was an acknowledgement that Christ is the Messiah, not a deep-rooted, heartfelt belief, faith in Christ. Jesus made the point of saying, and it's important for us to understand that. It's important for us to go so that you will believe. So that you will believe. Let's go to him. But the disciple Thomas said this out loud to the other disciples. Let's go so that we may die with him. They knew that the potential for the Pharisees to put Jesus to death was real. They also knew that they were threatened and their possibility of them being put to death was also real. There's a lot of things going on in this story. Concern, brokenness, trauma, wondering what's going on, wondering why Jesus isn't doing what he would normally do, why he would normally respond. When we see in the beginning of the story, Jesus loved Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. Lazarus was the one he loved. And yet he didn't rush to the aid of Lazarus. He didn't rush to the aid of Mary and Martha. He did this so that people would believe, so that the people would see the glory of God, so that people would see God's glory in the resurrection of Lazarus. Jesus said to her, "Didn't I tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God in the resurrection?" Imperative and awesome and wonderful. So the disciples didn't understand. They missed the point. But the point that Christ wanted them to see was see the glory of God and to believe who Jesus truly is and was. Not a Messiah who is going to save the nation by overthrowing the Romans, but the Messiah was going to save the nation by dying on the cross and paying the penalty for our sin. They didn't see that. They didn't understand that. Even after the crucifixion, they didn't understand that. It wasn't until the resurrection of Christ that they really understood exactly what was going on. Begin to understand the whole purpose. Colossians tells us clearly that it was hidden. It was a mystery of the gospel, because if the rulers of this age had understood the truth of the gospel, the truth of the purpose of Jesus' death and burial and resurrection, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. So we look at this story and see the incredible involvement that Jesus had in all of these different groups of people. Mary, Martha, Lazarus, his own wife, disciples, and then also the crowd. There was a group of people, the crowd, that were there to comfort, number one. They were there to, according to verse 19, many of the Jews had come to Mary and Martha to comfort them about their brother. So there was a group of people who came to comfort those who were broken and those who were hurt by the death. I want to tell you, make a comment here. Funerals are not for the dead. Funerals are for the living. Funerals are to help comfort the people who are still here. And it's God's intention to use people to comfort. It's in his intention so that people that are here now in this story, they're there to comfort and encourage. And they followed Mary to meet with Jesus. In verse 31, the Jews who were with her in the house consoling her saw her that Mary had gotten up quickly and went out. So they followed her, supposing that she had gone to the tomb to cry. But when Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and told him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." So this is a traumatic story, because we don't see this very often in Christ's life. When Jesus saw her crying and the Jews who had come with her crying, he was angry in his spirit, deeply moved. "Where have you put him?" he asked. They told him, "Come and see." And Jesus wept. According to the Greek, Jesus' weeping was silent. He was definitely weeping and crying. He wasn't wailing, but he was weeping because of Lazarus's death, yes, but of death as a whole, because we were never intended to die. People were never intended to die. Genesis chapter 3 says when Eve was deceived and Adam sinned, that the Lord said, God said, "You will surely die." Before Genesis chapter 3, men were supposed to live, people were supposed to live forever. But that's not what happened. You will surely die. Death is the final enemy. Death is the final enemy. And they wanted to, Jesus wanted to demonstrate that death is not the end. Physical death here on this planet is not the end. Those who believe in me will never die. Not ever. That's the story of the New Testament. Having faith in Christ, we will not ever die. So when we see this, the fact that Jesus was moved, he wasn't weeping because Lazarus could not be raised from the dead. He was weeping because he sees the devastation of sin in the lives of people, sin that has caused death and separation. And he's also weeping because we are broken and concerned about the fact that death comes. And I'm going to make this comment because I think it's so important. We need to understand, as believers in Jesus Christ, as Lord and Savior, that when we get older, at whatever point that God calls us, that we have confidence in our relationship with Him so that we truly know in our heart of hearts that there is a future, there is a hope, there is a place for us. And that's part of what this story is about. What the crowd recognized in verse 36 and verse 37, they said, the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Couldn't he also have opened the blind man's eyes, also have kept this man from dying?" And they didn't understand the story. They didn't understand everything that was going on in this story. And the crowd came to him and they were comforted. They comforted Mary. They comforted Martha. They wept at the graveside. They were broken in their own hearts. But here's what happened, and I think this is the awesome thing. When Jesus said, "Remove the stone," or "We roll the stone away," he raised his eyes and he said, "Father, I thank you that you heard me. I know that you always hear me, but because of the crowd standing here, I said this so that many believed you sent me, that they may believe that you sent me." After he said this, he shouted with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, bound hand and foot with linen strips and with his face wrapped in a cloth. And Jesus told them to loose him and let him go. Verse 45, "Therefore many of the Jews who came to Mary and saw what he did believed in him." Every miracle that Jesus performed was for the purpose of people coming to know him as Lord and Savior. Every miracle he performed was for the purpose of drawing people to himself. Not everybody believed. And unfortunately, not everybody will believe. But because of what Jesus did that day, demonstrated his sovereignty, demonstrated his deity, demonstrated his authority to even raise the dead. And that miracle caused people to believe who he was for who he claimed to be, the resurrection and the life. I came for a purpose, and that purpose is to give life.
As we come to the end of today's study, don't let the story stop with Lazarus, Mary, and Martha. Let it lead you to the one who stood before the tomb and declared, "I am the resurrection and the life." Jesus didn't just demonstrate his power over death. He proved that he alone is the source of eternal life for all who believe in him. Our hope isn't found in circumstances changing. Our hope is found in Christ, who conquered sin, death, and the grave. As always, we encourage you to check everything through the lens of the Scriptures. Be like the noble Bereans of Paul's day, searching the Scriptures daily to see if these things were so. If this message has encouraged you, please share it with someone who needs the hope of the gospel. We would also like to ask you to partner with us as we reach across the state of Alaska on radio and, Lord willing, TV as well. Everything helps when it comes to making sure more and more people have the chance to hear the gospel of Christ, for there is no other message of salvation on earth. As Christ continues to change lives, we ask you to visit us online at faithrecoveryfellowship.org to help us in the way of donations, for we aim to ensure that more people have the opportunity to know Jesus Christ and the power of his resurrection.